from Vanderbilt Sports and Spirits inside the Wyndham Hamilton Park Hotel, it's Inside the Jets. Brought to you by EY, Building a Better World, M&T Bank, the official community bank of your New York Jets, and by FanDuel. Have all the fantasy that football has to offer. Be sports rich. Now here's Eric Allen and Bart Scott.
Welcome to Vanderbilt Sports and Spirits here at the Wyndham Hamilton Park. Eric Allen alongside Bart Scott. And we're going right off the bat today with our player segment because Jermaine Kearse is ready to roll.
I tell you what, man. Week one, we had to pipe in the noise. This week is organic, man. This just tells you where the season's going, man. You guys finally believe.
Our player segment is presented by M&T Bank, the official community bank of your New York Jets. Jermaine Kearse, what did you think about the home faithful Thursday night? You guys put it on the Buffalo Bills pretty good, but the atmosphere was electric. That was your first game in terms of prime time at MetLife Stadium.
It was good to get a win. We've been on a three-game losing streak, so we wanted to come out and kind of make a statement for us and be able to come out there and just compete. I thought it was a big win for us.
But the crowd itself, what do you think about the energy in the place?
The crowd was great. You know, the attendance has been getting better and better each game. And
there we go.
You know, when you start seeing stuff like that, you know, just to be able to get the crowd involved and that momentum carrying on to each game and each week is a big thing.
Jet Nation's, I have to understand, he's coming from the 12th man.
Oh, I know where he's coming from. I know.
I remember going out there one time, and I was like, listen, this crowd is crazy out here in Seattle. But then I went to a high school, and we practiced, and then it had like a little overhang, and everything we said came and bounced right back down. So, you know, Paul Allen, man, you got to give it to him for the technology, man. It's a crazy atmosphere, but you know what I'm saying? He used his Microsoft background to make sure that noise was crazy, because, I mean, it was deafening there. You couldn't even speak to anybody. So, Jets Nation, you got to understand, you got to take it up a notch.
Through nine games, 31 receptions, 380 yards, four touchdowns. You were acquired September 1st in a trade with the Seahawks. How have you been able to make it look like a seamless transition?
I wouldn't call it seamless, but it was definitely a quick transition. I wouldn't really even say there was a transition at all, because as soon as I got to New York or New Jersey, I went straight to the facility and I spent the first 2 days just literally cramming in the playbook, because I was told I was going to start the first game. So I'm like, all right, I got to learn a lot in 1 week. The good thing is, you know, they say the NFL is a copycat league. And so a lot of the stuff that we ran or we are running is a copycat league. So everybody kind of runs concepts, the same concepts. So it was just for me to change the terminology and try to remember that. But the smaller details I'm still working on, you know, coaches like certain things a lot different. In different areas. So that's something I kind of had to adjust to.
But it speaks to your football acumen. I don't think you're giving yourself enough credit. I mean, you talk about before Zafarian Jenkins came in, you were the go-to guy. And I think the defense is a starter to, like, maybe move their coverage to you and roll it to you, and it's creating opportunities for Zafarian Jenkins. And as they continue to try and take him away, I'm sure it'll open back up for you. But how important was it, because you had a veteran quarterback that can kind of speak that nonverbal communication with you and be able to, you know, maybe if you guys aren't on the same page, can give you that look and you guys can kind of, you know, speak the same language because you are veterans?
It was definitely helpful. Me and Josh, we started right away of just kind of working on the timing stuff, whether that was at the beginning of practice and just running routes and, you know, specific routes that we're going to run in the game. And so we watched film a little bit together and just kind of try to get on the same page. And, you know, at the beginning of the season, we started to really connect. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to be able to make some plays. And then as the season got going, we started getting some more guys going, like you mentioned, Austin. And then Robbie Anderson has been a huge help in the past game. He's been explosive, and I'm trying to figure out when teams are going to stop taking the goal ball from him, because he's just going to keep taking them up top.
It's amazing that they're still, like, I see guys trying to press Bell, yeah, but they're squatting on him. Like, listen, have you not read the scouting report?
He's probably one of the fastest guys I've been around in the NFL. I mean, he definitely stretches the field.
He's becoming a more complete receiver too, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, he's been improving each week, and he just puts the work in each and every day, whether that's in the film study or out there working on his craft on the field.
Now, you know, trades are part of the game, and you know, how did you handle when you got the news that you have been traded and you're not only leaving from the West Coast, you're
Pacific
coming all
Northwest.
The way, right, and you're coming all the way over to the East Coast. How did you wrap your head around that? And, you know, I know I can imagine that the adjustment is still taking place, you know, moving your family and uprooting that. You know, explain to the listeners what that's all about.
Well, for me, it was a bittersweet moment. I mean, I played in Seattle for 5 years for the Seahawks, and I grew up in the state of Washington. I lived like an hour south of Seattle. I played high school football, college football, and then I was blessed enough to play pros in the league. And just the relationships I built over time with the guys, you know, especially after the years we won a Super Bowl there, you know, a lot of those guys I played for 5 or 6 years, and, you know, those relationships transition, you know, outside of football. You know, those are some of my – I call them brothers because we were truly a family over there. And so for that, that was kind of the bitter part. But the sweet part, I was looking forward to a new opportunity. I think it was time for me to start a new chapter in my life and kind of get out of Seattle. I was always interested, you know, thinking about whether – that opportunity of playing outside of Seattle would be like, and just the opportunity that I would have here, I was pretty excited about. And just starting with a brand new team and an up and coming team. You know, a lot of people kind of doubted what the Jets were going to do this year. And when I first got into the facility, I just immediately just started talking to a lot of the players. Leonard Williams was the first guy I started talking to, and just having those conversations of where everybody's mindset was at. Because in the NFL, you know, just winning period is just like this small of a difference. But this small of a difference takes a lot of work and a lot of dedication and a lot of commitment and sacrifice. And so just started to have those conversations with everybody. And it seemed like everybody kind of had similar mindsets, but it's more so just trying to figure out, you know, the steps to go forward with that. And we got some great leaders in our team, you know, DeMario Davis. You know, those guys out there, they're doing a great job in spreading the message, and we're just trying to keep this thing on a roll.
Inside the Jets is supported by Selective Insurance. Response is everything.
So good at that, man.
Eric Allen and Bart Scott here at Vanderbilt Sports and Spirits. We're joined by Jermaine Kearse. Speaking of responses, what has the media attention been like to you compared to maybe a locker room in Seattle where people were flocking to Richard Sherman or Cam Chancellor or Russell Wilson, where you...
Wait. They were asking about me, too.
No, he's slipping, man.
No.
Rodney Dangerfield.
I'm sure they were. But have you gotten more media attention? Have you become more of a spokesperson for your new team, you think?
I think that would be fair to say, more of a spokesperson for a team. Just because, you know, I've been part of – I won a Super Bowl in 2013. You know, I've kind of seen what an organization kind of looks like, you know, a winning organization. And that's what it goes back to when I was saying I was just having those conversations with everybody. I didn't want to come off like I had every answer because I don't have every answer, but I've kind of seen, you know, the blueprint of it a little bit and just try to mold it a little bit and just help take the steps, like I said before, you know, help everyone take the steps forward to – create the change and the attitude that we want our team to have.
Because that was going to be my follow-up. You know, how did you lean on that experience? Because maybe next year you're going to have a new young quarterback, you know, maybe either via free agency or in the draft, and you've been part of this process, you know, bringing in a young Russell Wilson. People forget about these great plays that you guys made because, you know, he was on a pitch count when he first got in the league. And they would take shots down the field. And, you know, you mentioned your Super Bowl win. You know, I remember that great catch. That wasn't the Super Bowl win. The Super Bowl defeat, the great catch.
I did have one, though, in the Super Bowl.
Right. Yeah, that was right here at MetLife Stadium, right?
Right,
against the Broncos?
Yeah, that's why I love this stadium.
You know, the one that bounced off. You know, how do you try and get the message? Because, you know, when you think about the Jets, they lost some alpha males. You know, they lost Darrell Reeves. They lost some mainstays and Nick Mangold. And they're kind of searching for those new leaders. And they don't really have a lot of people to ask about the answers who's been successful in this league. You're one of these guys. How are you leaning on that experience to help them understand what it takes to win in this league?
Well, you know, I credit that to the fact that I got to learn from some really good leaders. And, you know, with Doug Baldwin and Cam Chancellor. And, you know, those were the two main leaders over there in Seattle that I really kind of got to sit behind and just see how they get certain messages across or how they went about things. And so that, I think that's definitely helped me kind of mold into my own form of a leader. I'm not the guy that's, like, getting in front of the whole team and makes this, like, Braveheart speech. But,
Leave that for DeMario, right?
Right. But I like to get more personally involved, like just have these one-on-one conversations, or you know, just a few guys, and just have those conversations to see kind of where everybody's at. And so for me, it's something I'm kind of learning in my own, you know, being a little more vocal than I am or than I was before, than I was in Seattle. Because I technically kind of had a similar role in Seattle, but I wasn't as vocal, or I'm not as vocal as I am here.
People forget that you play collegiately with the aforementioned Austin Seferian Jenkins.
Yeah.
How different is the guy you knew then to the guy you see out there at the facility on the practice field every day?
I mean, he's definitely a different dude. I think, you know, mentally – he's in a different spot. He's been through some rough spots in his career so far, and he's taken the necessary steps to make changes. And that's something I kind of noticed when I first got here, because obviously I've talked to him, you know, his first couple of years when he was in Tampa, and talked to him, like, whether it was on the field or not. But when I got here and had a conversation with him, I can definitely see that his motives were different, that his mindset was different about it. He was taking it more seriously because he knew that what he had wasn't going to last forever. And when it's taken from you, you can definitely see how different life can be without, you know, something you've been doing your whole life. And you get to a certain spot in your career, and then you kind of try to possibly can throw it away. And so he kind of realized, you know, the dangers of that, but he's definitely take the right steps and the right strides and heading in the right direction. And he's just continuing to put that time and effort into making them.
Now, 4-5, listen, I know you're a veteran, and I know externally you really can't talk about this and, you know, playoffs maybe being in the future. But internally, how do you guys feel, and how confident are you guys? I mean, because you've been in almost every game instead of
Oakland week two.
It. You've been in every game. You lost some very tight games.
We was actually in that game, too, as well. Yeah. For – you know, I think from the beginning of this season, you know, we've had that type of confidence.
Right.
You know, a lot of people didn't really know what this team was about because they were basing us off of last year and kind of who we had last year. This is a whole different team. The first game against Buffalo was the first game a lot of us even played with each other. Yep. When I was talking to a lot of people, I would ask them, like, well, how long have you been on the team? And some of them was like, I just got here in March.
Right.
And so, you know, the more and more people I've asked, I'm like, man, this team is, like, really brand new.
Yep.
And whether they were young or they just got here. So those first two games, we were kind of just figuring out who we were, you know, and just figuring out what's our team identity, what is our standards, and, you know, kind of learning about accountability and sacrifice. And so those first two games were kind of just, you know, learning about ourselves. Those are growing pains. We're still going to go through growing pains because we still got a young team and we're still figuring things out. But as far as confidence-wise, I don't think there was any lack of it.
How much stress do you think this offense right now is putting on a defense? Because I look at the contributions you're getting all around. Austin Seferian Jenkins, 33 catches. Robbie Anderson, 31 catches. Jermaine Kearse, 31 catches. Matt Forte, 29 catches. Then you think about the backfield, and you're getting large chunks from Bilal Powell.
Yep.
And then you have Matt Forte churning it out the other night against the Buffalo Bills for a pair of touchdowns. How much stress do you think that puts on a defense, and how much, conversely, how fun is that to play in an offensive attack where the ball is getting spread out?
I mean, it's been good. We've been able to move the ball pretty effectively throughout the games. I think it just comes down to just consistency and doing things right longer than an opponent. We've been in certain games where we were moving the ball, and then sometimes we just get penalties and they kind of kill us. So, but as far as offensively, I think we've been doing a great job. I feel like we could continue to get better, you know, kind of fix up the small mistakes like I was talking about that comes with winning. And I think we're definitely taking the right steps towards it.
Jermaine, you got something in common with this guy up here, both undrafted.
Oh, people's champ. So, okay, respect.
So I look at the stats, and I know it's more than stats, but you played in the Pac-12, and you finished number 2 on Washington's career charts for receptions with 180, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns with 29.
Why? I was really tied for 30. They gave me a bubble, and it counted as a rushing. So, I still try to fight that.
Yeah? So were you surprised you weren't drafted, and what was the knock on you coming out?
You know, I had a I played a little bit my freshman year, my second and my sophomore and junior year. I probably have my better seasons. I didn't have that too good of a senior year, and a lot of people told me I probably should have left my junior year. But I wanted to graduate, and I came back. It was a different quarterback, and I just didn't have a good senior year, and that was kind of the knock on it. And I ended up going undrafted. But for me, I never really, you know, kind of doubted that I wouldn't be able to, you know, find my way. You know, I always use this quote. Steve Sarkisian said this to me in college, and he always said, sometimes you got to find a way to find a way. And I've always held that with me till this day. I think it's a true statement, and then that's kind of what I did.
Well, I know being an undrafted free agent, I had a huge chip on my shoulder, and I can remember, you know, some of the comments from Chris Carter and not giving you guys really the respect. And how hard has it been because you come, you know, in the league as an undrafted free agent, and people automatically assume because you don't have the name recognition that you're not a great receiver? You know, so how have you used that chip, and, you know, how hard is it to try and fight for that name and that respect that you deserve?
I mean, if you just watch me play, you'll understand. For me, you know, I always say 30. I always remind myself before every game that 32 teams didn't want to draft me. That's including the Jets. And it just that's the type of,
yeah, Woody. You hear that?
that's the chip I play on my shoulder. I don't forget it. I mean, I've been in the league. This is my sixth year now. And I still haven't forget that, you know, 32 teams passed up on me. And
now, do you go through the list? Sorry, not to cut you out. I know we got to go to a break. Now, do you look at the list of the other receivers that was in front of you? Like, he ain't in the league no more.
I might have picked that.
Better than him. Better than him.
Real quickly, Jeremy Curley suspended 4 games today by the National Football League for violating the PED policy. What do you anticipate from some of your youngsters now in that room, specifically Chad Hansen or Darius Stewart?
Yeah, I mean, last game, Chad actually got a lot more reps than he did before, and he did a good job. I mean, he didn't have any catches, but, you know, with the routes that he had, he's definitely put some wins on film, and I think they're going to do good. They're going to step up. I've been talking to both of them. I always talk to Chad, talking about I need to see his. He went to Cal, so yep. I always give him crap about being another Pac-12 team and how we used to smack them all the time. But
smacked them around pretty good this year too.
Yeah, I always tell him, I'm like, man, I want to see your swag back. And you know, they've been doing a great job. They've been working on their craft each and every day. I've been trying to I've been talking to them, make myself available for them any chance that they need help or anything, any questions. So we just look forward to them to just step up. I mean, it's the next man up, and we're going to need them in these next couple games. And so I'm looking forward to watching them play.
Well, you're off to a great start here with your new team. Jermaine, thank you so much for joining us. We'll be right back here on Inside the Jets.
13th round draft pick, thank you. 13th round.
Ernst & Young LLP is proud to be the exclusive professional business and accounting services sponsor of the New York Jets and MetLife Stadium, teaming with them as the official sponsor of the EY Coaches Club. As a leader in assurance, tax, transaction, and advisory services, EY offers the insights and quality services that help build trust in the capital markets. EY delivers on its promises to stakeholders, playing a critical role in building a better working world for their people, clients, and communities.
Daddy, where do babies come from?
Honey?
Mommy went to the store.
Oh, well, you see, well, there's a mommy and a daddy, right?
Right.
And see, when they call Geico, they could save a bunch of money on car insurance.
Oh, really? And that makes them happy?
Yes, that makes them very happy.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad we could have this talk, sunshine.
Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.
The only way to make football better is with Corona. The two are just made for each other. See, with a Corona, you kick back. With a football, you kick off. And the best place to enjoy an ice-cold Corona is wherever you have the game on. Corona Extra. Find your beach for game day. Please drink responsibly. Corona Extra Beer. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
And Ortega is back and better than ever. If you're looking for the perfect paradise escape, discover the beautiful island of Antigua, right in the heart of the Caribbean. Perfect weather year-round and just a short direct flight from New York. Antigua has over 365 white sand beaches, world-class sailing, snorkeling across miles of reefs, kite surfing, hiking, and swimming with stingrays. Nightlife and entertainment for all ages. The Caribbean is getting back to business. So visit Paradise in Antigua, awarded the most romantic destination in the Caribbean.
Hey Jets fans, elevate your game day at MetLife Stadium with a Jets home game experience like no other. Start the party 2 hours early at Club Prime Sport with other diehard Jets fans. Get hyped for the game with a live DJ, special guest appearances, pregame broadcast, great food, and more. Head to primesport.com/Jets and reserve your spot today. Exclusive limited time offer. Save $40 on Jets home game packages using promo code JETS40 at primesport.com/Jets. Offer available while supplies last.
We haven't seen a superstar like this in years.
You're not kidding, love. The people need to know about this standout.
Introducing this year's most sought-after rookie, the M&T Bank Jets debit card. New on the scene, this fantastic plastic stands 2.125 inches tall and weighs a lean 0.2 ounces. This small but mighty paying machine is sure to be charging through checkout lines all season long.
Hey, Jets fans, you've got to get your hands on the M&T Jets debit card. It's bold, it's brand new, and it's only available with Jets checking at M&T Bank. You'll also get a fan-worthy water bottle to show your pride with every sip.
I have a feeling we're going to be seeing this powerhouse everywhere soon.
No doubt about it.
Rush into any M&T Bank branch to get your Jets debit card today or visit mtb.com/Jets to learn more. M&T Bank, the official community bank of your New York Jets. Offers subject to change and certain restrictions and conditions and fees may apply. Jets water bottles only available when opening a new M&T Bank personal checking account. Available while supplies last in select New Jersey, New York, and Connecticut M&T Bank branches. One gift per customer. Member after FDIC.
Victorinox Swiss Army watches embody the spirit of the legendary original Swiss Army knife, a universal symbol of functionality, innovation, quality, and iconic design. And the Victorinox Swiss Army Enox watch collection is no different. Subjected to a record 130 harsh tests, like a 30-foot fall and getting run over by a 64-ton tank, you can trust them to rise to whatever challenges your lifestyle presents. Get yours today at SwissArmy.com or Macy's. Victorinox Swiss Army. Life is your adventure.
Live from Vanderbilt Sports and Spirits inside the Wyndham Hamilton Park Hotel, it's Inside the Jets. Brought to you by EY, building a better world. M&T Bank, the official community bank of your New York Jets. And by FanDuel, have all the fantasy that football has to offer. Be sports rich. Now here's Eric Allen and Bart Scott.
All right, we're broadcasting live from Vanderbilt Sports and Spirits inside the Wyndham Hamilton Park Hotel here in Florham Park, New Jersey. Eric Allen alongside Bart Scott. We just finished up with Jermaine Kearse, who is on pace for a career high, 55 catches, and he's closing in. And if he averages out over 16 games, maybe a career high in terms of yards and seven touchdowns he's on pace for. What do you think about the production of him in his first season with the green and white?
Well, I tell you what, I think it was very important. It was a great pickup. You know, he has a knack for getting open, reading zones, being able to, you know, he's crafty. You know, he reminds me a lot of Brad Smith, man. He just seems like a class act. He's a guy that, you know, I can imagine that the younger receivers kind of gravitate to and lean on his experiences. And you heard him say all the right things. He talked about making himself available because it's about building the team up. It's not about just individual success. We understand if the group is successful, then we all are going to be successful. So the more I can coach up my teammates, the better we all can be, the easier it's going to be for me. But, you know, I think that's secondary to him. I think he just wants to make sure that he can help anybody with whatever he can. And you need guys like that in your locker room. That's what we talk about when we talk about having a quality locker room. I think the Giants can, they can't get him from us, but they can, you know, they'll benefit from a guy like him in that locker room.
I'll tell you what. You know what was overlooked in that trade? Sheldon Richardson goes to the Seahawks.
Second-round draft?
A talented player, no doubt about it. A force at times in the National Football League. But
I think he's one of the best defensive tackles in the game.
But long-term, right. were you going to sign him long-term? And instead, you bring in a receiver into your room who you constantly refer to as a professional receiver, added to a young group for a veteran quarterback, and you get the second-round pick in return.
No, absolutely. You know, I mean, you talk about, you know, you're going to lose Sheldon Richardson for nothing anyway. You know, you saw Bill Belichick finally let Garoppolo go because you understand that, you know, you can't sign three defensive tackles to long-term money and have success. It's about the distribution of funds, and you can't put all that money into two defensive tackles. You know, that's why, you know, I think it's going to be decision day as well, because I think, you know, when you have a successful year where you exceed expectations, you know, much like they did winners, I think it's time to start shoring up some of these young talents. You know, so you got to look at a guy like Leonard Williams and say, hey, man, is it time for us to drop, you know, the money for him now? Because you pay less. You pay later, you're going to have to pay more. So that's something that they're going to have to address coming up pretty soon.
We'll have to see what happens with that. First time this season the Jets played in prime time. They took care of the Buffalo Bills, who came into MetLife Stadium, a hot club,
yep,
was not beating themselves, was stopping teams from running on them, and in turn, the Jets come in and they rush for nearly 200 yards. They're plus three in turnover differential against a team that has lived off the takeaway, yep, and they finally get the pass rush going with 7 sacks.
Well, absolutely. It's talked about. Remember, I told you how you rush a shorter quarterback, a mobile quarterback, because the same lanes that they run through, they throw through. So you want to muddy up the picture, understanding that, you know, you guys are 6'5", 6'6", and he's 6'1". So if you muddy up the pocket, make sure that you don't get past quarterback depth. And if you do get past quarterback depth, you retreat. You make him throw it out of a well, is what we say. Make him throw it out of a well. And, you know, even though he has some good yardage, he missed a lot of throws because it's hard to be accurate, because it always feels like somebody's around you, and that eternal clock really goes off in your head. But another thing about playing on primetime, what it was, is it's really an audition, you know, for other guys that are watching you play. You know, this gives them a look into how you play, you know, how tight of a team you guys are. And I think if anybody saw that team, they should be excited if they're up for free agency, understanding the salary cap space that the Jets have, that, hey, man, this may be a team that's on the uprise. This may be a team that I can help put over the top. This may be a team where I can be the guy, or I can help get them over the, you know, over the edge. And, you know, I think that's important when you go on a national, you know, a national platform,
yep,
that you want to, you know, have a good showing, because it makes other guys want to come here.
So the place was rocking. Yeah, Fireman, man. Ed was back leading the Jets chant.
Oh, man, I can't go with Fireman Ed, man. Oh. This, you got to be on that bandwagon all the time, man. You can't jump on and off the bandwagon, fam. We got to put Fireman, he got to do the chant. On, okay, Skype,
so
on the big screen.
Maybe we'll have Ed come in and he can talk to,
yeah,
you about,
Ed,
it. But,
yeah,
and listen,
yeah,
I thought Ed did a nice job the other night, and I thought the fans were fantastic. And
Ed can't do it. Ed can't wait to do it on a national platform. I would like to see him out there on all the games. You can't just come out on a national platform and try and be the team's mascot and be the most famous fan, man. You got to stick with the team through thick and thin, Ed. I got some words for you, Ed. You're going to have to prove to me that you deserve your spot back.
Okay, can we talk about a little bit about dancing now that you got that out?
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
So during a television timeout the other night, 11 Jets defenders.
Yeah, man.
Broke it down.
Who's the best dancer to you?
I don't know. I would have to go back to the videotape, because this is what I wanted to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
The hashtag Jets Dance to Anything was born. On Friday, Twitter users started using various songs over the video.
Yeah,
what,
man,
did you think about that?
I think it was great, man. And what was great about it, it wasn't showing the Buffalo Bills up. It was just raw emotion. It was excitement. I'm sure that they wanted to get that payback. You know, whenever you get embarrassed or physically beat, and you want to come back and have an opportunity, that's the great thing about playing people within your division. You get an opportunity to right your wrongs. And I thought it was great, man. I think it shows just how young this team is. And even for the older players like Muhammad Wilkerson, you know, I think when you surround, you know, players that are, say, in the middle of their career with young guys, I think they re-energize them. And I can see, you know, Muhammad, you know, playing, you know, he came to life, you know, because it's just so much energy out there. You gotta love it.
I gotta give 33 some love. Jamal Adams.
Yeah. He brings the energy. He's a tone setter.
Yeah. And I'm not just talking about his play. You're asking me about dancing.
Like,
I thought he was pretty good.
He was dead, yeah. He hit the, I don't know what he was doing. I think it was cutting it.
I think he was cutting it.
But, you know, I think if you really look, I think Darren Lee.
Darren Lee, huh?
And I know I'm biased because he's in the linebacker
role. Yeah,
he's like
the inside linebacker.
You know what I'm saying? He did a little bit more swag with the hips.
Does.
You know what I mean? He had a little bit more hip action then going on. You know what I mean? So, you know, I think, you know, maybe we might have one or two out of that group that could be a contestant on Dancing with the Stars later on. I don't know. I have to see more.
You know what I like, though? You just mentioned it was the exuberance, the passion. Those guys weren't showing anybody up. They're just in the moment, loving where they are. And that's what it's all about, isn't it?
I'm telling you, man. And listen, man, you go to training camp, you hear all the naysayers telling people what you can't do. Then you have the opportunity to prove them wrong. It's no greater feeling. You know, it's satisfaction, you know, and it's being evident. It's almost like relief, too, that you can say, listen, I was right. Because you didn't know. They didn't know if they were going to be able to win four games. They knew they were going to come out and play hard. But to be in the mix in November, that's all you can ask for. You know, we call it the dash for the cast, just to have an opportunity. You see the other team in New York on the other side of town, they melted in. Those U-Haul trucks are packed. The pods are parked. The cars are already shipped back home. They got one car. They've already mailed it in, man.
All right, so your vote goes.
No, you don't have to skip over that, man. We can say that. They mailed it in.
This is Inside the Jets, not Inside the Giants. And thank you so much for tuning in on Facebook and on NewYorkJets.com and listening to on ESPN Radio as well. We're going to come right back and do a little mid-season report card about your New York Jets.
Ernst & Young LLP is proud to be the exclusive professional business and accounting services sponsor of the New York Jets and MetLife Stadium, teaming with them as the official sponsor of the EY Coaches Club. As a leader in assurance, tax, transaction, and advisory services, EY offers the insights and quality services that help build trust in the capital markets. EY delivers on its promises to stakeholders, playing a critical role in building a better working world for their people, clients, and communities.
Mercedes-Benz, Lexus, BMW, Maserati, Alfa Romeo, and more. No matter what vehicle you're looking for, start your search at CelebrityMotorCar.com. With 5 convenient locations and over 1,000 new and pre-owned cars to choose from, Celebrity Motor Car has your dream vehicle. Plus, when you shop at any Celebrity Motor Car location, you'll always receive their famous red carpet treatment, including home pickup and delivery. Visit CelebrityMotorCar.com today and get the status you deserve.
I'm Jared Maples, Director of New Jersey's Office of Homeland Security and Preparedness. To protect New Jersey, we need everyone's help, and nobody knows our communities better than the people who live there. That's why we've started the Hometown Security Initiative, along with our federal, state, and local partners. It's a program that trains local businesses to enhance their preparedness and further support the safety and security of the communities we serve. Please remember, Homeland Security starts with Hometown Security. To sign up or learn more, visit njhomelandsecurity.gov.
Every legend starts somewhere. Your legend starts with FanDuel. On FanDuel, there's a fantasy football contest for every fan. Enter for as little as $1 or play for a share of $1 million. And building your team is simple. Pick any player you want to stand at the salary cap. Start your legend today and try FanDuel for free with no deposit required. To claim your free contest and play for a share of $10,000, go to FanDuel.com and use promo code FLY. That's FanDuel.com, code FLY. Void where prohibited.
The only way to make football better is with Corona. The two are just made for each other. See, with a Corona, you kick back. With a football, you kick off. And the best place to enjoy an ice-cold Corona is wherever you have the game on. Corona Extra. Find your beach for game day. Please drink responsibly. Corona Extra Beer. Imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Geico brings you endorsements from the backup to the backup punter.
I'm the backup punter to the backup punter. The only time I'm on the field is when I'm headed to the locker room. Do I get high fives? Nope. Sign autographs? Nuh-uh. My jersey? It's never been washed. I'm just a kicker kicking it on the sidelines. But I did score on my car insurance by switching to Geico. They saved me money faster than Coach could say, Jenkins, you're in. Even though Coach would never say that.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Live.
Live from Vanderbilt Sports and Spirits inside the Wyndham Hamilton Park Hotel, it's Inside the Jets. Brought to you by EY, building a better world. M&T Bank, the official community bank of your New York Jets. And by FanDuel, have all the fantasy that football has to offer. Be sports rich. Now here's Eric Allen and Bart Scott.
Welcome back to Inside the Jets. Eric Allen and Bart Scott here at Vanderbilt Sports and Spirits. Great crowd tonight. Everybody getting their autographs with the Jermaine Kearse over there. Bart.
Huh?
You still with us or what?
No, I'm trying to do my McAdoo.
Okay, drive of the game, trip of the game is brought to you by Antigua and Barbuda. The beach is just the beginning. The Jets' drive of the game was their first possession in the third quarter, because here we were again in a familiar territory. A lead at halftime, a tight game, 10-7. But the defense comes out, they force a three and out, and Josh McCown and company go right down the field, and they culminate a possession with a scoring pass to Robbie Anderson.
And you have to understand, that wasn't the play called in the huddle. That was a check. After McCown surveyed the defense, he made a check. He saw that he had one-on-one coverage, and he pulled the trigger, and he hit Robbie Anderson in stride. And that's why I keep telling, the Jet fans that say, hey, we need to see the other quarterbacks. Like, listen, Robbie Anderson was made to be great, make a great play, because he had a quarterback that had the wisdom and experience to check to the play, because he had seen that defense before.
Totally agree. It was a great play. It was a veteran move. The guy is completing over 70% of his passes. Each and every week we talk about Josh McCown and his high-level play. And I'll tell you what, it's not going away.
And I'm telling you, I'm trying to figure out, when do the Jet fans change their expectations? Because, of course, everybody wants a quarterback. They think this is a quarterback-rich draft. But I'm telling you, watching Darnold and some of these young college kids, they aren't ready. And, you talk about, being able to evaluate the rest of your team. I think people are realizing that the Jets may not have as many holes as they once thought. And you talk about a team as well that's going to get Quincy Enunwa back next year. And you add that to an already, deep, wide receiver room. And, his ability to play, that H-back slash receiver slash tight end, I think is going to add it just a whole nother layer. And being able to go out in free agency. I think you stay the course. You stay the course. You, like as Herm Edwards would say, you play to win the game. And, going for the playoffs and having something to shoot for, I think should be the goal. You should try and win them all. You're not trying to tank. Tank for what?
No, I think they put
this thing is wide open.
Listen, I think they put that to bed long ago. They've been a streaky team so far early. Now the thing is for this young Jets team is to develop consistency. Lost their first two games, then a three-game winning streak. Then they come back and they lose three in a row. Now they're on a winning streak again. You have to follow this win up against the Buffalo Bills by going down to Tampa.
Oh, they're struggling.
And
without Jameis, going back to see an old familiar foe, right?
Yes.
Go see the buddy.
Ryan Fitzpatrick will be the starting quarterback for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Sunday
that
afternoon.
That train's never late.
Mike Evans, suspended by the National Football League.
Absolutely.
So he will not be playing one of the better receivers. Now, they do have some weapons.
They do, but, somebody got to get it to them.
Right.
That train's never late with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Okay, so
I remember when I was a member of CBS.
Right.
And I charted Ryan Fitzpatrick. 89 games, 92 turnovers. So, he's going to throw you one, or he's going to put one out there for you to throw. You just got to make sure you catch it. And, it's going to be important that they make sure that they stop the running game, because they're going to lean heavy on the running game and try and take shots, with Deshaun Jackson. And you got to be aware of Brate.
Yeah, Brate
is the secret weapon.
Triple team him inside the red zone.
Brate is the X factor for them. But I think this is a very winnable game. And it's not all the time about who you play. It's when you play them. And I think you had a momentum. This team is feeling sorry for themselves. They won't be playing with their leader, their uncut clear winner, leader in Jameis Winston. So you have an opportunity. And listen, you don't make any excuses. You go in there and you beat them down and you put that doubt in their heads early. And you make Ryan Fitzpatrick have to beat you from the pocket.
And defensively, this Buccaneers team has dealt with a number of injuries.
Nah, man, they can't stop the run.
And they've had a lot of difficulty setting the edge. And the Jets should be feeling real good about the run game right now heading down to Tampa.
Well, absolutely. You know, the first time you saw, like, what the Jets were capable of when they're all on the same page was against the Jacksonville Jaguars. Yep. Because everybody was on a string. Everybody understood what front they saw. You know, they had 9 men in the box. That's almost impossible to block. But they were letting the backside guy go and climbing directly up to the linebackers, getting in their face, and then letting two guys go and blocking 7. And you have to be on the same page as far as communication to be able to do that.
What I loved against the Bills is that sometimes they were getting 2 yards, 3 yards early, and John Morton just said, we're keeping at it. We can't go to chop wood here. And then eventually it broke. Bilal Powell had a couple fantastic runs in the second half. Yeah.
You know, a big one called back. And, you know, and that's what it is. When you have a three-headed monster and you just want to keep, you know, their body blows. You know, and sometimes, you know, it's tough sledding. You know, it's a yard here, a yard there, 2 yards, 3 yards here. But all you got to do is have a couple of explosives. You know, they can change the game. That's how you break a team's will. That's how you take their legs away, so to speak.
All right, so through 9 games, the Jets ranked number 22 in offense, number 18 in terms of rushing, number 25 in terms of passing. What do you like, and where does this team got to get better offensively?
Well, I think they have to be able to get some more explosive plays. I like to see them take some more shots down the field, because when you take shots down the field, one or two – you know, 3 things can happen, and two of them are good for the offense. Either you catch it or you get pass interference, or, you know, you got to think, most guys on defense play defense because they can't catch. So, you know, it's a low possibility on one-on-one coverage that, you know, the defender's going to pick it off. So I like to see them take some more shots down the field. You know, I like to see some more explosive plays from the special teams as far as in a return game.
Okay.
You know, and that's all about chemistry and timing as well. You know, being able to really scheme guys. I think they do a great job in their coverage units. You know, I think they're flipping the field a lot. But I like to see them start to get some more explosive plays where you can, you know, give the offense the ball on the 40, say, on kickoff return, or, you know, be able to get more than 10 yards, you know, on punt return.
What about defensively? Number 25 in the National Football League, number 23 in rushing, number 20 against the pass. What do you like? And especially off of last game, you had to be – tremendously excited about the way they bottled up LeSean McCoy, one of the top 2 or 3 backs, maybe top 2 backs in the National Football League. And then they finally got to the passer.
Yeah, you know, well, I like the way that the linebackers are coming downhill. I like that they're committing and they're making it a physical battle, because that's really what it's all about. It's a physical challenge. You know, I think in the first game, Buffalo won the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. And it showed in the stats. I think, you know, without a question, you know, we won the line of scrimmage and really set the tone and the tempo with our physicality. You know, I think what they really have to do, like you said, they have to continue, not so much all the time about, you know, the sacks, but I like to see them get more hits on a quarterback. You know, I like to see them, you know, be a little smarter on third down, you know, and be able to get off the field and win the situational football game. I like to see this team get some maturity and understand about situational football and being able to win in the tight spots. When I say the tight spots, you know, you want to start the game well. You want to make sure that, you know, you disrupt the team first 15-play drive, which they have scripted, and get them behind so you can knock that out the way. And you want to make sure when you come out the locker room and if you – you know, received at the beginning of the half, and you come out on defense, you 3-and-out them again. Those are the situations. You want to make sure you win all the time in 2-minute drills.
Yeah, we got to get to Mario Davis here, your old
Morris Chestnut.
Yeah, your old apprentice. Listen, because Darren Lee came on the show, and I'll tell you what, over the last 3 or 4 weeks, he's been fantastic. So fantasy owners, by Jermaine
Kearse. You better Kearse. Get Kearse. Kearse going for 122 touchdowns.
Maybe one touchdown or two touchdowns
two,
against the Buccaneers.
Two.
We'll come right back.
They're giving up two.
We will take a look at the AFC landscape. I don't even want to call it the playoff picture, but we'll see where the Jets are in the AFC as we come right back here on Inside the Jets.
Ernst & Young LLP is proud to be the exclusive professional business and accounting services sponsor of the New York Jets and MetLife Stadium, teaming with them as the official sponsor of the EY Coaches Club. As a leader in assurance, tax, transaction, and advisory services, EY offers the insights and quality services that help build trust in the capital markets. EY delivers on its promises to stakeholders, playing a critical role in building a better working world for their people, clients, and communities.
We haven't seen a superstar like this in years.
You're not kidding, Bob. The people need to know about this standout.
Introducing this year's most sought-after rookie, the M&T Bank Jets debit card. New on the scene, this fantastic plastic stands 2.125 inches tall and weighs a lean 0.2 ounces. This small but mighty paying machine is sure to be charging through checkout lines all season long.
Hey, Jets fans, you've got to get your hands on the M&T Jets debit card. It's bold, it's brand new, and it's only available with Jets checking at M&T Bank. You'll also get a fan-worthy water bottle to show your pride with every sip.
I have a feeling we're going to be seeing this powerhouse everywhere soon.
No doubt about it.
Rush into any M&T Bank branch to get your Jets debit card today or visit mtb.com/jets to learn more. M&T Bank, the official community bank of your New York Jets. Offers subject to change and certain restrictions and conditions and fees may apply. Jets water bottles only available when opening a new M&T Bank personal checking account. Available while supplies last in select New Jersey, New York, and Connecticut M&T Bank branches. One gift per customer. Member FDIC.
When I met my wife 50 years ago, my heart skipped a beat. When her doctor told us she needed a heart valve replacement, but open heart surgery was too risky for her, my heart froze. We researched and discovered Morristown Medical Center was the first hospital in New Jersey to perform TAVR, a non-surgical technique to treat aortic stenosis. They treat more heart valve patients than any other hospital in New Jersey. Due to her successful surgery, 3 years later, she is still making my heart skip a beat.
Morristown Medical Center, part of Atlantic Health System. Learn more at atlantichealth.org/valve or call 973-971-7001. That's 973-971-7001.
Antigua is back and better than ever. If you're looking for the perfect paradise escape, discover the beautiful island of Antigua, right in the heart of the Caribbean. Perfect weather year-round and just a short direct flight from New York. Antigua has over 365 white sand beaches, world-class sailing, snorkeling across miles of reefs, kite surfing, hiking, and swimming with stingrays. Nightlife and entertainment for all ages. The Caribbean is getting back to business. So visit Paradise in Antigua, awarded the most romantic destination in the Caribbean.
Around my house, I'm called difficult. I know what I want, and I always want more. Take my insurance, for instance. I want more coverages, but there's no chance I'm paying more for it. My agent knows this, and that's why she recommended the Selective Edge. With the Selective Edge, I get higher coverage limits and even coverages I didn't know I need. And my agent knows what discounts I deserve. More coverage, more options, less money. That's not too difficult, is it? Find an agent near you by visiting Selective.com. Selective. Response is everything.
At BMW of Springfield, you'll find an incredible selection of certified pre-owned BMWs, all with the BMW Certified Edge. That's an up to 6-year, 100,000-mile warranty, letting you drive as confidently as you would in a brand new vehicle. And even with past credit issues, you'll still get the status you deserve and the value you expect. BMW of Springfield, 391 Route 22 East, a celebrity motor car company. Financing and leasing available by BMW Financial Services.
Live from Vanderbilt Sports and Spirits inside the Wyndham Hamilton Park Hotel, it's Inside the Jets. Brought to you by EY, building a better world. M&T Bank, the official community bank of your New York Jets. And by FanDuel, have all the fantasy that football has to offer. Be sports rich. Now here's Eric Allen and Bart Scott.
Eric Allen and Bart Scott back here at Vanderbilt Sports and Spirits. Boy, hour goes quick, doesn't it?
Yeah, man, especially when you got a first guest that give you some good content.
Yeah.
Not like Robbie Anderson.
Okay.
No message. One more week, I'm going to let Robbie live. After you got one more week.
Okay. You know, after Robbie appeared on Inside the Jets, he had three consecutive games where he caught a touchdown pass.
Yeah, man, he owed us something.
Okay.
We got him hot.
So how about that? So let's look at the AFC right now. Pittsburgh on top of the conference with a 6-2 mark. Based on conference record, they would have the one seed over New England. New England's there at 6-2. You got Kansas City, who started off really hot. They're 6-3. Still look like a solid team. You got a battle developing in the AFC South between the Tennessee Titans and Jacksonville Jaguars. Both teams 5-3. And then the Buffalo Bills, still a surprise no matter what happened the other night at MetLife Stadium. They're sitting there at 5-3. Then right after, you have a group of teams who are tightly packed together. Miami's 4-4. The Oakland Raiders are 4-5.
Horrible.
The New York Jets are 4-5.
Good.
The Baltimore Ravens are 4-5.
I hate to say it, man. It's a wrap for them, man. They just don't look. They can't stay healthy. They're going to have to depend on Danny Woodhead and see if he can bring them something. But you know, They don't look right. Flacco don't look right.
The Houston Texans 3-5. Missing Deshaun Watson. Tough blow.
That was
after losing J.J. Watt, and then you got Denver,
Merciless.
Cincinnati, and San Diego. So the Jets, can they get in the mix here with the win this week and be playing meaningful football in December when nobody, except for a few people, maybe internally, and maybe yourself, Bart Scott, thought that would be the case in August.
I tell you what, 8-8, 9-7 could be that final wild card spot. You know, it's going to be pivotal that they get this game this week, and they're going to have to pack their lunch pail when they have to go down and see Carolina, because, you know,
Carolina's coming up there.
Well, I'm just saying, when they play Carolina, they're going to have to pack a lunch, man, because that's a physical football team, a veteran football team defensively. And Cam, when he's on, he's on. I think he's still searching for something after losing Benjamin. You know, they're trying to force feed McCaffrey a lot of production. You know, he gets a lot of, you know, catches, but it's not a lot of yards. You know, that's going to be the pivotal game right there. I think if they get these next two, I think they'll be on their way to 8-8, 9-7. I think that can get them in. I don't believe in the Broncos quarterback issues. One thing you can say when you talk about the Jets, you don't have to worry about the quarterback play. The quarterback play is going to
be solid.
And, you know, you have questions about Dalton. You have questions about the protection in the run game. You know, when you talk about the Chargers, you talk about the Texans. I mean, they signed T.J. Yates and McGloin. I don't even know if McGloin spent more than a half a season in the NFL. And if he didn't have a relationship with Bill O'Brien, if he would even got that phone call. And then you go to Oakland. Oakland's a downward spiral. They're going to knock each other off within that division. They still have to. They're not finished with their division play. So I think, you know, they knock themselves out. And I'm still not a real believer in the Buffalo Bills. You know, they have to prove it over a period of time. You know, and we'll see where that falls out. But Tennessee and Buffalo, I think, will be the front runners. And I think the Jets are right there in the mix.
Yeah, so the bottom line is the Jets are going to have to string together a number of victories here. It all starts this weekend against Tampa. You mentioned Ryan Fitzpatrick before. He's starting this week against the New York Jets. Played two seasons here, a highly productive campaign in 2015. It went the other direction in 2016 as the Jets finished 5-11. You've been part of defenses who have game planned against him. What is it like in that room? What are his strengths? And then from a player's perspective, what do you know can do to him?
When I play against him?
Yeah.
I'll try to get Pro Bowl stats, man.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Well, you have to what about Ryan Fitzpatrick, how we always play Ryan Fitzpatrick? He's a very smart guy. I believe he's from Harvard, right?
That's correct.
So he thinks he's the smartest man on the football field. With that being said, you present some looks, he's already going to predetermine where he's going with the football. So we always knew that he didn't have a strong arm, so he either had to roll out to throw the ball far down the field. He really couldn't throw the ball far down the field. Now, he throws vertical routes, but he lets the ball go early. He doesn't hold it, pat the ball, let the receiver win. He throws it while the receiver is still covered, hoping that they can uncover down the field because he doesn't have the biggest arm. So with that being said, what you want to do is you want to pack the boundary and make all his throws, even the outs and things, you have to make him throw across the field. So the ball's either going to be on one hash. So if the ball's on the right hash, you want to make him have to throw the ball to the left. The ball's on the left hash, you want to pack, you know, with coverage to that short side of the field, making him have to throw the ball across his field because he doesn't have a strong arm. And if I'm a receiver, understanding, if I'm a defensive back or defender, you know that he predetermines where he's going for the ball, so you flat foot everything.
Yeah.
And you jump the first thing that you see. Because if he's going to give a double move, the double move's only going to be about 20 yards before it hits the receiver's hands. He's not throwing a 50-yard bomb. He's not throwing a 60-yard bomb. So you put coverage over the top and you squat on everything. You make him beat you throwing the ball down the field.
So the opportunities will be there.
Have I ever lost to Ryan Fitzpatrick?
This week, again, for the Jets.
Maybe once.
To get a number of takeaways. Because Tampa, it's the same game plan every week. I know people kind of roll their eyes, but it really is. You got to take away Doug Martin.
Yep.
And he's struggled this year because Tampa's not getting any push up front. You talk about being in the trenches. The Jets have to win in the trenches again. On paper, they should. Now, this is a big step as far as maturity-wise for this young team.
I mean, it's going to be a man's game, too. You talk about they understand they're limited, so they're going to try and establish a run. And you got to remember that they play on grass, so it's not the fastest surface and it's not the most steady surface. So you got to make sure that your feet wear is right, make sure that you got the long spikes on. You know, with that being said, you got to make sure that you don't step with the inside foot or try and cut off your inside foot. Everything's about planting on the outside foot so you keep your balance, sink your hips, and make sure that you come under control.
Offensively, if you get a lead against this team, what do you think happens? Because we saw against New Orleans frustration mount for the Buccaneers.
First of all, I'm sorry. If the game has changed, man. The quarterback who's out the game because he's injured.
I've never seen that before.
Took a defensive player and poked him in the back of his head.
How would Bart Scott react to that?
I'd have grabbed James by that afro and drug him up and down that football field. That nose would have been bloody, man. You can't miss that big nose. I would have messed. Man, come on. Are you serious? A quarterback? Oh, man. You're killing me, Petey.
Listen, so Jameis will not be in action this week.
Jameis would have had a plug put on his head.
Nor will Bart Scott, even though he might be available for a couple hits, right?
Hey, listen, man, I'm in tremendous shape.
You are in good shape.
The great thing is, when you don't play anymore, you never chip away.
Hey, I did want to ask you this. We've got about 45 seconds. How about the play of DeMario Davis and Darren Lee? We talked about it before, but Todd Bowles said he used both of them to spy individually and at times both of them against Tyrod Taylor.
Well, listen, that was just a total lack of respect for everybody else, all the skill positions. Did Charles Clay play?
No, he did not.
So Charles Clay, so that's one less threat. Shady didn't seem like he was himself.
Right.
So now you're able to make sure that you can have two spies because it's hard when you're in the middle because you can run into a lot of trash. You feel a lot more confident when you have two linebackers on both sides.
So next week when we come back, Jets 5-5?
Absolutely.
We'll see you next week.
Three picks from Fitzpatrick.